Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 629. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, my odd-numbered friend?
Odd-numbered friend? What?
Yes, because it's dawning on me that you will, if the rotation stays as currently going, you will always be on an odd-numbered podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was the whole entirety of my. I don't know if I want to call that a joke. That might be giving it way too much credit.
I don't think
I would
either.
How goes it, Mr. Calamita?
Things are pretty good here. How goes it for yourself?
Pretty well. We had a fairly enjoyable Royal Rumble, I would say.
I agree.
We said the field was wide open. And I've got to admit that when they announced Randy Orton and Edge as number one and number two, not sure why I did this, but I went, oh, well, I don't think either of them are going the distance, so I'm taking them out of my suspects list. That was the wrong idea, because... They are the first two in and the last two, the last one out in Randy Orton, and we get right. Edge as the champion. So
yes, we did. Edge winning the 2021 Men's Royal Rumble after as being a last week add to the match, and I think last week we gave him an outside chance, but we didn't necessarily, neither of us, I think, in exactly, I wouldn't say endorsed it. Thought it was going to go down that way, and then when he went to number one, he was going to be coming in at number one. We both, I also kind of wrote off, I knew that Edge would be in there for, I figured he'd be in there for a long time.
Yeah, he's never he's never going to be someone that's just going to get tossed.
No.
So, yeah, that wasn't. I wasn't surprised that he lasted or that he was going to last a while. Like, I don't think that part was ever really much of a surprise to me. But yeah, the win was something of a surprise out of that one slot, I would say, at least for him. Like, there are other people that could have gone the distance, maybe, that would have made more sense.
Keep in mind, earlier in the night, Bianca Belair entered at number 3-1, putting in about 57 minutes or so, I believe, was the final number. Edge went the entire length of the match and, you know, was active throughout the match. Was not taken out for any length of time, like one Mr. Orton certainly was. And he did a complete 1 hour 32 seconds for the entire time of the match.
That is some impressive work. I mean, I do feel like Edge has talked about his cardio a lot, especially as of late. because he's definitely not as big as he used to be.
No, he's not as big as he used to be. He certainly put in the work on Sunday. He did look like he was feeling it on Monday. Unless he was just really, really selling it, he certainly looked like he was feeling it. Then surprisingly, he gets put in a TV match, which I was under the impression that it would be something that really would not be done with Edge. But they really, really, really wanted to get Orton out of the way for him, and it looks like that they've done that. So Edge now has... Well, Edge this week looks to be going on the tour. He's even going to be popping up on NXT tomorrow night, presumably to confront Finn Balor. Because that's open. That's viable. And then show up on SmackDown to confront one Mr. Roman Reigns, and that's the one I'm most interested in seeing. I don't think as good as a match would be, and it might technically be the best match of the three options. I don't see Edge challenging Finn Balor for the NXT Championship.
I would agree with all of those points. Like, yeah, that probably could be the best wrestling matchup. But, you know, yeah. I don't. Reigns is really good at what he does. So, I mean, I won't be surprised if that's being a very good match.
I'm sure that it would be a very, very good match. It's just not something I was thinking. Once again, he was in our top. Edge was in our 10, you know, potential candidates to pull off a win, but I still never really pictured him doing it, and thus I'm not sure exactly what. That's why I'm really looking forward to seeing him and Roman Reigns stand toe to toe. It's you know, it sucks without a real crowd, of course, but. And even just with the Thunderdome and the buzz of the fake crowd noise and just the image of the film, like I really want to see what they look like standing toe to toe with each other. Standing eye to eye with each other, what they say to each other. Because I don't know if I'm necessarily until I see it, I don't know if I'm necessarily sold on that match.
I like it in and of the fact that it didn't feel like there was a natural next step for Roman Reigns on SmackDown, really. Did Braun Strowman come back on SmackDown?
Braun came back on SmackDown, but he's a Raw guy.
Oh. Okay. That does not make any sense, but okay.
Well, a bunch of people showed up on SmackDown from Raw.
Oh, that is true. I forgot about that part.
Maybe there wasn't a natural WrestleMania opponent for Roman, but they've done a really good job with the table setting with Roman Reigns and him already having interactions with Daniel Bryan and him and, you know, of course, where Jey Uso took Bryan out. And the Nakamura thing, where they took out Nakamura after the, you know, and screwed him out of the gauntlet match.
Oh,
Big E's been having his seemingly bi-weekly confrontations with Paul Heyman on Talking Smack, so you know that's something right there. And there wasn't one that jumped off the page, but we've still got over 2 months, so you know, we could still get there. So it almost feels to me like it's a disservice to the really good work that's been done on SmackDown compared to Raw by everyone involved, including the running team, including whatever the difference is. It's a substantial one. So it just feels to me like you give the part-time attraction guy the title match there. It feels like a disservice to the work of SmackDown. But once again, I haven't seen them. You know what they're gonna do, Have they officially declared? What I didn't feel was I didn't necessarily feel it at all with Edge and McIntyre when they were face to face with each other.
Yeah, I mean that's just kind of an awkward matchup.
It is. It only works if Edge goes full heel. And Edge has traditionally been a better heel than a babyface, but he's still got that shine of we're just happy to have you back right now.
Yeah, and you don't. I mean, I know that his Raw win over Randy Orton obviously was aided by one Alexa Bliss.
Oh, Edge was getting his ass kicked. before the lights went out and she showed up. that was a weirdly booked thing there.
yeah, that did not help Edge out the way they think it's helping Edge out.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just wanted it over with Edge and Orton. They wanted you to know that is no longer a direction. That's not something they want us thinking about. Unless they change their minds again, of course. It looks like Ed Orton's moving towards more and more stuff with weird stuff with Alexa and the Fiend. Someone brought up a point that with WrestleMania having a, you know, whether what's like a 1/3 size crowd there, or however you want to refer, 1/4 to 1/3 size crowd there both nights, they probably won't do any cinematic stuff at WrestleMania.
Oh.
So you're left with one of the next two pay-per-views to do the cinematic match with the Fiend and Orton?
Yeah, I guess. That would make some sense. But, man, I guess I just really don't care.
This feud,
they've done a lot of things that I think that we complain about to move this story forward. I mean, they have been moving it forward and in steps and doing a pretty decent job stringing it along, but it's still just an awkward feud for me. Because, like, you don't really want to root for anyone.
No, you really don't, and it's very weird. Obviously, Orton is still a heel. The Fiend is, I guess, a heel. Alexa's a heel. She only wrestles baby faces.
Oh.
It's a weird deal.
And she just had another match with her ex-partner, like, to kind of nail down the heelishness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heel versus heel. I mean, I guess in the twisted logic of the fact that you can do whatever the hell you want with the Fiend character, especially in this empty arena setting, you can do whatever the hell you want. I mean, they can just do whatever wacky shit they want to do. And it, within the logic of the Fiend, the whole Fiend character, it makes sense that Bray Wyatt is using the Fiend to take revenge against all of his old enemies. Now, obviously, he did it with John Cena, and now Randy Orton. In that sense, it makes sense, but, you know, it's, you know what, it appears to do well. Obviously, they give it a lot of time.
I think
the YouTube views on those segments are pretty high. I imagine the quarter hour ratings on those segments are pretty damn good. That's, otherwise, they wouldn't keep running with it. So it's this, you know, kind of wacky thing that they're just dragging out now into its third or fourth month, so I don't know if it's got the juice to make it to WrestleMania. But then I don't know what you do with either of those guys at WrestleMania either.
That's the crazy thing, because you started talking about doing the cinematic match before WrestleMania. I'm like, yeah, like, if they have a regular match against each other, it's weird. If they start a feud, it's weird. If you put them in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that's even weirder.
It's gonna be interesting to see how they continue to drag this out. I mean, when does the Fiend return in his full form? When does his body get to be resurrected? Even though his spirit is apparently in the swing set next to Alexa Bliss, and his spirit seems to take over her body when she's wrestling. So yeah, it's a weird, wacky storyline. I'm not getting the feeling like they have much on paper for WrestleMania.
Oh.
That was the most uneventful Raw the night after the Royal Rumble, maybe in 25 years. Because even back before Nitro, there were still things. Well, there were things within the Royal Rumble itself, the pay per view and the match that was setting something up for WrestleMania. There was none of that this year. There were no interactions that made me think that, oh yeah, this is a WrestleMania match.
No, like it honestly didn't hit me until right now with you saying that. When I remember last year we had Keith Lee come out and Brock Lesnar's there, and you see him turn to Heyman and go, "Who's this big bastard?" And yeah, even though that didn't end up being a WrestleMania moment, like, you could definitely see the potential for that being one of those seed planting moments that you're kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Because, there are usually some type of, there's usually some type of story that transpires that, there really isn't anything that I can think of from the Rumble itself that I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely going to carry over. Like, there wasn't any big moment like that really in either of the Rumbles that I can think of offhand. Like, I mean,
nope. And
yeah.
Yeah. And there really wasn't anything on the night out. Usually there's one or two big angles or big challenges that are laid out the night on the Raw the night after the Royal Rumble, and nothing of the sort really happened. I mean, you've got Edge being ambiguous about, you know, what he's gonna do. I imagine that they know where they're going with that. And if he chooses Roman, I don't know what the hell you do with Raw. I really, really don't. As I said, at least Roman's got options. Drew McIntyre really doesn't have options. WrestleMania-worthy options.
It didn't seem like they... It seemed like on SmackDown they had set Roman Reigns up more for an Elimination Chamber-type match. Or, you know, or at least his potential opponents, you know. Because you already talked about them. Put Daniel Bryan in there, you know, just... Have one match to have them determine who's the number one contender. At WrestleMania.
But Edge has to pick McIntyre first. And
Right.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. It's interesting to see where this all goes. I mean, do you go with another? I don't know. This week, unless they're lying to the media, they're saying that John Cena won't be able to make it back for won't be working WrestleMania this year because of a filming schedule. Now, granted, once again, they could be lying, but I mean, are they going to do two part time special attractions in the title matches? And otherwise, then what are we? What even are they? You know, there's nothing left in Goldberg.
Well, and I guess
unless they just want him to squash somebody, unless they just want him to squash like The Miz or someone on that level, just to get him out there and get him in and out. There's nothing left in Goldberg.
And I would imagine, because this was something you kind of talked about with McIntyre, they're not going to stretch out that Sheamus thing until WrestleMania, are they? You don't think? Like, don't do you think that?
I think that'll be probably one and done. So that's okay. So that I guess that's Drew in a singles match at the Elimination Chamber pay per view. The chamber matches are kind of open. I mean, you could have it be all SmackDown. Maybe you can mix them up a bit and say that there's three from Raw, three from SmackDown, a men's and a women's, and the winner of that gets to have the match that. Gets to have the title that the other one doesn't choose, that the Rumble winners don't choose. I guess you could go with it that way. Have the Elimination Chamber matches be mixed brand. But that's also if you're going to drag out Bianca Belair's challenge. And it looks, and it, I would imagine that it really doesn't feel like she would be challenging for the Raw Championship. So I don't know if they're going to drag that one out or not, or if she's going to just go look Sasha Banks right in the eye on Friday and just challenge her straight up.
Yeah, that seems like a better fit as far as matchups go.
Yeah, I think that would be really, really good, and they could do a lot with it. And Sasha could, you know, if not fully turn heel, go more heel on Bianca to really get, you know, have the right dynamic for the match. Yeah, I'm certainly feeling that better than anything they could do on with Raw. I guess since we're on the subject, big win for Bianca Belair. She was in the match almost the entire time. If they had just put her in at number damn one, I would be $210 richer this week. and put her in at three.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because I forget. I won something last year in that, so I came home with a nice haul, honestly. Off of that little Royal Rumble fun. So yeah, that's a rough one to lose out by a couple of spots.
That is a rough one, like for a minute and a half.
I mean, the women's definitely seem, especially by the end of SmackDown on Friday, I definitely would have listed, and I think we talked about Bianca being the favorite for the women's match. And they didn't do anything to dissuade me on SmackDown from her not being the winner, honestly. So
No.
It was kind of predictable, but I guess I do. It is a little bit surprising that they went with two people that one nearly went the distance and the other went the distance. Like, normally I don't feel like they go that heavy with the numbers. And I did kind of chuckle that I finally got my by the numbers segment at some point this past weekend. Because the WWE can't resist it. Bianca was another one where she did not have a lot of rest time in her match.
No. She was quite active. She was throwing people out. She was in the middle of the fracas the whole time. She had a very, very good performance. Leading to a very hot, a real hot, closing stretch with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley being in the final three. I think a lot of people breathed a sigh of relief when Charlotte went out first of the three.
Well, that's it. I did kind of chuckle. Someone's like, oh, they forget how many good matches she had or something like that. And it would feel weird for her to win back to back. A, with her in a feud currently with Lacey Evans. Like, that just... You kind of need to be distraction-free at this time to win the Royal Rumble. And she is not distraction-free. And
She is completely distracted.
I think from that kind of regard, it would have been... It kind of would have been a bad idea for her. And I don't think on this show we've been overly negative. It's for her in general, just because, obviously she's, done a lot for the women's division. But I do think that there's still a little bit of, there's still some other people that can hold the title before you get it back here. Why don't you just kind of just wait a little bit? And, we'll get back to you. I mean, she's going to have more title reigns than any woman ever anyway. So it's not like, I mean, I guess she is one of the kind of older women.
She's
well, but I mean, she's older than Sasha and Bailey. age-wise, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. Obviously, she's not old, but you know, some of the other top talents are younger than her. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe she's feeling pushy, but yeah. Anyway, sigh of relief. I had a sigh of relief. Like, I don't want to see Charlotte win again. Like, I recognize that she's great, but I still didn't want to see her win. And honestly, a year, it would have been interesting to have Rhea Ripley win just from a redeem myself at WrestleMania standpoint, but she almost needs to take on Charlotte again to do that, I would think, and win the matchup. But with Charlotte not having the championship, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Rhea to win.
No, and I guess we can talk now about this Raw women's division. Woof, right now. This is a. You got Charlotte taking pinfall losses left and right. You got Asuka getting pinned in tag matches while being manhandled by being, excuse me, womanhandled by Alexa Bliss 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, I don't know where you go. It's getting to the point. I don't know where you how you fix this problem.
Yeah, I bring it because they haven't really determined. Rhea wasn't on Raw, was she?
Rhea was not on Raw, so she could still show up on SmackDown, I guess.
She's more needed on Raw, but there is just, you know, she's only going to solve so many problems. You know, that, like you said, like the division is such a mess that
And it's
they
more of a
need.
creative risk than it, it's more of a creative mess than a talent mess.
Oh, well, yes. That is 100% the problem. Because anytime, yeah, I don't know why you're using Charlotte on Lacey Evans, who hasn't been able to catch. I mean, she has had chances against nearly everyone at this point. And she just hasn't really caught on, and she's kind of flip-flopped her gimmick a lot. She was baby face for a while. Like, they have tried nearly everything to get her to stick, and it just has not worked. And I don't understand why they're weighing down Charlotte Flair with this. And especially with, you know, COVID even aside, like, the whole Ric Flair part in this whole thing is just complete silliness. And, like, no one should buy this. Like, if I was a child, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't buy this. You know, it's a rough one. Like, that's the only sustained angle. They make Asuka sound like an idiot on Raw by saying, "Hey, Charlotte, just concentrate on this match." Like, it's tough, man. Like, I know that she can speak better English than that. Like, we've heard it. So to have her like almost this stuttering fool is not helping her character at all.
No, not a lot that they've been doing with her lately is helping. Both her and Charlotte are racking up the pinfall losses. You can see that they're gonna start trying to build tension between Charlotte and Asuka, but at this point, don't care. I mean, they've both, as I said, they've both taken losses. They've both looked weak. They've both looked dumb.
And
it's serious.
if there's been an overdone match, like other than Sasha versus Charlotte, like I think there's been almost that many Asuka versus Charlotte matches. It would be,
Yeah, they
would be my
overkilled
guess.
Asuka versus Charlotte over the summer. And also had Asuka beat Charlotte. So, but now everyone's beaten Charlotte. So what does that mean? Peyton Royce has beaten Charlotte. Lacey Evans has beaten Charlotte. You know, everyone's beating Charlotte since she came back. Sometimes, pardon me, I don't blame her for being unmotivated. if that's her issue right now.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah, creative is just not good for any of the ladies. Like, it's at least on the Raw side of the ledger, it's rough, man. It is, because what, Shayna and Nia Jax win the tag team championships back, but then aren't on, well, A, they all got relegated to the pre-show, and B, they don't end up showing up on Raw at all.
You know what, I was fine with that whole pre-show thing. the whole show, the whole regular show would have been 15 minutes longer.
Oh, yeah. Because when I was sitting there after the Women's Rumble and Owens and Reigns came out, and I'm like, oh my God, and we have that tag team match after this? Was all I was thinking, because I didn't watch the pre-show. And when they went to the Men's Rumble, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. And honestly, no offense, like, I like 3 out of the 4 women in that match. I feel like Nia Jax may have looked like she potentially injured someone in the Rumble later in the evening, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like people said something.
I didn't see that.
I feel like people said something online, but I'm not completely sure what they were referring to, and maybe I just wasn't completely paying attention. But yeah, like I mean, I think there are better roles for Shayna and for Nia Jax. Like, as much as I don't even like Nia Jax, like, she has not been booked well pretty much ever. You know, since she's been on the main roster, it's been a mess for her.
Yeah, it's been pretty messy for her. They haven't really, really, really just honed it on her as the monster of the division at all. She's lost key matches to people, you know, half her size, and been kind of defined down in that way.
Yeah,
and
she even
she doesn't do herself any favors with her performance and her stiffness and recklessness either. But it's I mean, if the option was between Charlotte and Asuka to keep being tag champions, or the belt to go back to Shayna and Nia, I guess they're better off on Shayna and Nia, but they never really should have gone on Shayna and Nia. But just to get more women on the card for WrestleMania, you could easily do, you know, triple threat 4-way for the women's tag titles, just to, you know, just to get more women, just get that women's tag title match on the show and get more women on the card if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, wow, because that's another one where Naomi returns, and everyone who has been a friend of Lana on Total Divas gets a chance to be her tag team partner now, and the roulette wheel has landed on Naomi. And they definitely seem to be, they're at least going to get one championship opportunity here, I would think, before WrestleMania. But if they have some type of multi-woman match, I would imagine that they will still be involved.
Yeah, I would imagine. I could see them winning to cap off the whole storyline with Lana and Nia and Shayna. It's possible. Although, Naomi did get the pinfall win over Asuka. That should mean something going forward. Not necessarily saying it will, because considering this creative, but
yes,
you traditionally typically think that that is going to lead somewhere when you pin the champion.
Usually it does. In the WWE these days, things are a little questionable. So, yeah. And I think, does that cover it all? Because we had, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, were on the show, because they were in a tag match, weren't they?
It was a triple threat tag match.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the match, yes.
I am confused by what has happened to Mandy Rose. Like, I don't feel like there's been any backstage story of her doing something completely crazy and getting ostracized. I don't feel like there's been any major injury problems, although I do believe she's sustained an injury or two recently to put her on the shelf for a little bit. They seemed like they had a rocket strapped to her back, and wow, man, she is just in a enhancement talent team at this point. It is pretty strange that her and Otis were the apple of everyone's eye a mere 6 months ago. Or however long ago that was. And maybe it's like 9 months at this point.
it's probably 9 months, yeah. No, they lost a lot of momentum. I think it would appear that they both got COVID for a while and were out for like a month.
Oh, it seemed, okay.
Or something happened, and then of course, Mandy came back to finish off her feud with Sonya Deville, and real life events kind of threw a monkey wrench into that, although they did get a match in the ring at SummerSlam, although not the match they were originally meant for. And then she got sent to Raw with this silly thing with The Miz. That made no sense, and
hasn't really been followed up on at all. Like, I mean, they kind of talked about it, but there hasn't been any repercussions, and Mandy and Otis, by all at least TV means, have broken up. I don't know what the real life status of that has, but I don't really care either.
No. They don't interact anymore. They haven't shown that they're still together, and that Miz didn't get his way in the end. And I mean, at least on SmackDown, they did have Otis be one of the people from Raw who came over, and he immediately went after the Miz to at least pretend that he got at least some kind of comeuppance on Miz. For what happened, but it seemed like there were big things afoot for one Mandy Rose, and this is just not. This isn't good. It's not a good thing for her. Maybe if they'd won the titles by now, it would be better. Of course, it would be better if they did that, but. They've failed so many times, so they're slotted in their role.
Yeah, there is no recovering from what's happened to them at this point. You know, like, Dana Brooke has been a dead weight for a while, and it seemed like there was some sort of renewed interest in putting her in a spot, but, you know, she's another one that she has at least somewhat nice what would seem athletic career behind her, but you know, it doesn't seem to have translated to skill in the ring.
Nah, she's not been able to put it together. She and they've tried with her. It doesn't work. It's not a good thing. And she's definitely weighing Mandy Rose down.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing that's kind of weird to me, at least in the Mandy Rose point. Like, when she's in their matchups, I don't feel like there's a problem wrestling wise. And she can talk, and obviously she looks the way she looks. So usually that really helps you go up the corporate ladder, but it has really stalled out for her. So yeah, like even the tag team division on Raw is for the women is a mess. You know, like you had to literally invent a team to have a tag team match because everything else is so bad. And you kind of brought her up. You almost have to feel bad for Peyton Royce, who has been completely lost in this whole Lacey and Ric Flair and Charlotte angle. Like, she got the one match, but other than that, her visibility has been very low.
Yeah, no. What's she gonna do? Third wheel with Lacey and Ric? Now that they're really going all the way with it, no, it doesn't really work at all. And now Charlotte and Asuka aren't women's tag team champions, so that's out of the equation. So it's going forward, it's just a one-on-one feud with Charlotte and Lacey. And, you know, what did he do?
Yeah, because, well, and everyone's beaten Lacey too, so it's not like Charlotte beating her is going to be any big thing.
Yeah, that was kind of weird in the Royal Rumble. They you know, after the initial, you know, interaction with them, they kind of split up, and someone else eliminated Lacey from the Rumble. I think it wasn't Bianca or somebody else.
It was
the one who got rid of Lacey. You know, it might have not even been Bianca. It might have been somebody who was not really all that high up on the food chain either. So it was just kind of, Lacey Evans was just kind of discarded from the Rumble. That was without having a real meaningful interaction with Charlotte. That was kind of that was weird.
Agreed. Yeah, that was not something that that I fully expected to have happen. So, yeah. Wow. I don't think, is there anything else since we've kind of covered the... Well, no, we haven't seen SmackDown yet, so who knows what happens on that, and we've already kind of covered Bianca and Sasha Banks, who, of course, didn't really have a whole lot to do on Sunday either, since she wasn't really involved in anything.
Sasha? She'd be Carmella.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well... That's how much I remember that match, though. That has not been a memorable feud for me. I mean, you know, now that you say that, I guess I enjoyed the match because I did enjoy the Rumble as a whole. Yeah, that match did not leave an impression on me, obviously. Was there anything about that that you you remembered well?
Not well. Well, I mean, the only thing I really remember is Carmella nearly dying on a suicide dive.
Oh my gosh, that was I was like, because I think that was pretty early in the Rumble, and I might have been cleaning up from dinner, and I was like, oh my god, I hope she's not dead. And my wife's like, what happened? And then they showed a replay of it, and I'm like, I can't believe they're showing a replay of this. She almost died. That really should have stuck out in my memory. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, Sasha was too new into defending her belt to lose to Carmella. As much as I do think that Carmella is a viable champion again at some point, not really the right time for Carmella to shine, in my estimation. I guess she did at least put in some effort there, or else she wouldn't have nearly killed herself in that matchup. I guess I don't know. Is there much to be said about Drew versus Goldberg? I guess since we've kind of, I feel like we've covered the ladies at this point. We can kind of start at WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble.
It was fun. It was what it needed to be for five. It was a high impact 5 minutes.
Maybe we
do some more high impact 5 minutes.
I am now being surprised. I'm looking at the write ups that I normally do on prowrestling.net, and they're saying that match only lasted 2.5 minutes.
Jeez, really?
If that is really how long that match lasted,
2 minutes and 32 seconds. Holy crap.
Yeah, I will say they packed a lot into, because I'm like, oh my god, it was that short? Like, I knew it was short. Like, I guess I was with you. Like, if I would have been asked off the top of my head, I probably would have said 5 minutes. But I saw that. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm like, wow, that's insane. Well, good for them.
I guess they're not going to get paid any more and or less for a long match. So,
no.
You know, honestly, that's something in a lot of ways. Like, I know that Goldberg has taken a lot of L's, but that's what Goldberg should be doing, honestly, for the most part, is putting talent over at this juncture. He got a title reign. He got, you know, some championship shine, you know, on his comeback. God bless. The guy's in great shape. He's in better shape than I'll ever be. So, you know, we can put all those things there. I still don't really want to see him wrestling. So, you know, it is what it is, I suppose, at this point with Mr. Goldberg.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they brought him out for the Rumble. They brought him against Drew McIntyre when it seemed like when Roman Reigns was the obvious fit. And, you know, they had Drew beat Goldberg. And, yeah, there's not much left in old Bill. I mean, maybe in another year or so they could build him up again. As I said, if they want to have him at WrestleMania, I guess you just have him squash someone you can sacrifice. But even then, it's not a featured match on the show, so it's like, is it really worth it? Or we'll see where things lie as far as any kind of special attractions for this WrestleMania beyond Edge. But yeah, Drew just beat Goldberg, and then they started the Drew Sheamus feud.
That is definitely one that, I don't see that stretching
that
out till WrestleMania.
Seconds.
Huh?
That match will go longer than 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
100% will. It definitely will. Yeah.
Yeah, no. you're not stretching that match beyond one, I don't think.
Oh yeah, I hope not. As much as I like Sheamus and like what he's been doing recently, I don't know that he needs to be in the title picture. Honestly. And yeah, he doesn't really need to be there. But yeah, who do they build up in the meantime? Like, that is a very good good question. You know, like, if they're gonna use Sheamus to buy time, like, is there anyone that does kind of have a chance at you know, being the next one to take on McIntyre at WrestleMania? I mean, I know that you said that you weren't sure previously. I guess I'm going to need to go to the Raw roster to figure something out, because it, I suppose, because didn't you say that Braun Strowman is Raw?
Yes, Braun is Raw.
So, I guess you could run with that, but has that, I'm feeling like that happened before.
Ron and Drew has not happened.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I could see that happening as it is a matchup offhand.
It's possible that's something that they could run with. I don't know. Once again, you know, Braun's lost a lot of luster in the last like 3 years, probably. You really could argue it.
Do you think
the last year? So,
well, this is one that maybe they did actually. I'm not ready to give them full credit, but I am ready to at least say that it's a possible plant seeding. Bobby Lashley freaking out.
Yeah.
Do you think that has some potential to fester into a Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania?
It's possible. Yeah, because Bobby's pretty hot right now. Now, granted, very early in Bobby's this run with MVP, they ran that match and drew one clean. That was when Bobby was still married to Lana. But Bobby has really, really, really stepped up since then, and the whole Hurt Business act, you know, came together. You know, Bobby's had, you know, been dominant for months and months and months and months since. Hasn't really lost much since, if at all. So yeah, no, I think, well, he has taken some losses, but yeah, that's something there. Hopefully they're doing something big with Bobby at heading into WrestleMania, and him freaking out on Riddle was you know, part of that. Hopefully it's not more matches with Riddle. But we shall see. Of the full time options that would be even remotely viable for Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, I guess AJ Styles, even though they just did that match. You mentioned Braun Strowman, and that's, you know, they always seem to, you know, heat Braun up when they don't really have anything else going on. The Fiend is a possibility, even though Drew McIntyre has even publicly stated that he does not want to feud with the Fiend for the WWE Championship. He just put that out there in public. He doesn't want the Fiend to deal with the Fiend.
Well, you know, I guess to go back to an earlier point there, at least to play off of it, if they did go with, you know, kind of a final type of matchup for Orton and The Fiend, you could potentially start the feud for WrestleMania after the next pay-per-view. Like, I do think that that is doable, but like I guess it almost feels like Orton and Wyatt deserve another, deserve more than just one pay-per-view after this. Like, it seems weird to be blowing something off at what we have Fastlane and Elimination Chamber, I believe.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber first, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because honestly, I was looking at this Raw roster too. It's bad when you're going, hey, the guy that's been on commentary for the better part of the last 6 months is also a good option. Like, that's not where you want your men's heavyweight championship picture to be. That Samoa Joe is still in my mind for a potential opponent for Drew McIntyre.
That's interesting. I don't know. You're not wrong. And it's something you could do. There's something you maybe. But I also figure if Joe was physically capable of wrestling right now and cleared, they would have put him in the Rumble.
Yes.
But
I would think
yeah, no.
so.
No. It's no. You're right. From a perspective of well. One of the guys on commentary could be in the main event of WrestleMania. WrestleMania
Well,
might go
yeah.
again, so he.
And even if he's not in the main event, like, if you're in one of the championship matches at WrestleMania and again, like they had a couple of confrontations with Joe when he was fresh on the announce desk, but they've even laid off that and treated him, closer to just a regular announcer. So it would be pretty shocking to see him back in the ring. Like, not that I think he's physically capable of it, I'm sure, but it would be kind of odd to see him there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here, 'cause like you said, like just no seeds were planted anywhere on this show.
No, there really was not.
I guess is there much to be said? The only match we really didn't cover much of at the Rumble itself was Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens.
No, that ended up being really, really good. A good blow off for their feud, ignoring that the screw up of the finish. Where Heyman couldn't get the cuffs off of Roman Reigns in time, and the referee had to stop his, had to just blatantly stop his count. That wasn't good. But overall,
Yeah.
no, I like that match. But it
I like and
definitely.
I like the I and I like the idea, they were really going for it. Kevin Owens evidently did a little too good of a job of hiding the handcuff, making it hard for Paul Heyman to get to it to unlock it. But overall, it was a really enjoyable match. I would hope that at this point, Kevin Owens and him are done with each other.
Yeah, I think so. I think they definitely they need to be done with each other. Yes.
As much as I have enjoyed that feud, for the most part. It's toast. So
Yeah, it's done.
Oh,
Well, I guess one more thing to talk about.
yes.
Christian.
Wow. Yeah. Two more things then. I almost forgot about the other thing. But yeah, Christian, and at least he did not he was not on Raw, was he?
No, he was not on Raw. No.
But, okay, I guess I just wanted to make sure that I'm saying, I believe I saw reports that lead me to believe that, you know, if nothing else, Christian will be one of those part-time guys. But it seems like he kind of wants to have at least something of a run here. Or am I mistaken?
I think it's up in the air. It seems like it could be part time. It seems like he wants something of a run, or he's ready for it, or wants it himself. But it'll depend on what the company wants from here. It was definitely a great moment. The one real genuine surprise of the Rumble that meant anything. I mean, you know, Kane didn't necessarily mean anything.
I guess it's still a little surprising to see him pop in, just because it's infrequent enough that I forget about him. But you also know that it's just kind of a one-off thing also, because we all know he literally has a day job.
Does. But no, Christian, you know, he as far as I can tell, he was moving well, performing well. They weren't treating him with kid gloves out there. It appears he's been given the all clear. What that means going forward, it's to be determined.
I mean,
one thing that was brought up was that if Edge is going to end up in a feud with Roman Reigns and his crew, we could get Edge and Christian versus the Usos.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, that would certainly be fun. Yes,
I would not. I would not really argue with that. I don't know if it'll necessarily happen, but yeah, you know. I do, obviously, like, and I feel like this plays off a theme that we kind of talked about some last week, with the old guys taking the new guys' spots and people not being able to build up to be stars. Like, when you get something of a pop and a reaction from people like Christian, it does kind of, you know, I don't see them losing to the Usos. Not that the Usos really need any help at this point, honestly, with their own legacy. I mean,
the key is, yes, is Christian older? Yes. But he's been gone for so long, he's fresh, and he look good. So it's, you know, really, it's more about how long a person has been on, how often a person's on TV, is there better options? You know, there's things that, you know, that go, other things that go into it, just simply besides a person's physical age.
I think that Christian will probably be able to wrestle a better match than one Mr. Goldberg.
Yeah.
Not that you'd expect the same out of Christian now that you would have, because how long has he been out of the ring?
I think his last match was in 2014, they said.
Okay, I wasn't completely. I didn't remember.
About 7 years.
Okay, so it's not quite as long as Edge, but it's still been quite a while at this point.
Yeah, let's.
So that was definitely a fun return, and I wouldn't mind, you know, if he just does the guest appearance type matches. I think I'd be cool with it, or even the guest appearance tag team matches, like. If the Saudi Arabians, whenever the WWE goes back over there, want to pay for Christian's fees, God bless, I suppose. I could see that being some type of a special attraction match.
Interestingly, Christian's last match, well, was March...
Oh, are they counting that Randy Orton street fight?
No, I'm not counting that one, no.
Okay.
I'm not counting that. I'm not counting that. It was unsanctioned. That doesn't count. It was on the March 24th, 2014 episode of Raw. What?
I was laughing at the unsanctioned comment.
Yeah, the March 24th, 2014 episode of Raw, which was like a couple weeks before WrestleMania that year, Christian won a number one contender's Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental title. And they sidelined him right after that, and he never got a shot at the Intercontinental title. Oh. I guess Big E might have a challenger.
And that would be a lot of fun. You know?
That would be a lot of fun, yeah.
Big E versus Christian. I would be up for that. So, yeah. I'd be a little bit bummed should Edge not challenge Roman Reigns. As much as I want to see Big E challenge Roman Reigns at some point, I still think that he needs a little more runway to build up a main event character to have some type of plausible believability to beat Roman Reigns, which I think he 100% deserves. Or even actually beating Roman Reigns, which would be pretty cool too. Like, if they built him the right way, I think that would be an option in my books.
I agree.
So, yeah, Big E versus Christian, sign me up for it. It would be quite enjoyable. Plus, you can kind of play off the tag team. Yeah, that's another one where you can play off the tag team thing if you want to and have a New Day versus Edge and Christian matchup of some variety. Even though Kofi Kingston probably wrestled Edge and Christian far more times than I remember. But I could be wrong. The other topic that I was thinking of before we mosey on out of here is IWTV getting a slot on Pluto TV.
I've come to learn that it's not an entire slot for IWTV. I mean, it's Pluto TV has a, in addition to their Impact channel, which displays old Impact and TNA stuff, they have a general pro, and I think there's other wrestling. I think the ROH show is on a channel that's actually owned by Sinclair Broadcasting. And I think MLW show gets on airs at some points on another channel, but there is a 24/7 pro wrestling channel that will be mostly partly programmed by IWTV material. I think not a lot is on there so far. I think only a handful of things that get rotated in the schedule. Also, I was looking at it tonight. They're also airing like one of Steve Austin's, reality shows from CMT. So that's what they're doing as part of a pro wrestling channel. But no, a pretty big deal for IWTV. This Pluto TV is a free app available on, I think, just about every supported
smart device.
So, yeah. Conceivably, an audience of millions has the chance to just stumble across some wacky independent match and discover the promotions and stars. It's not a bad deal. I mean, I haven't heard anything about Pluto TV being the most lucrative thing on the planet to get on.
Yeah, get yourself out there.
It's still a coup. I think it's still for something the size of IWTV. It's still definitely a coup, and for the promotions who already had trusted IWTV and licensed their footage to them, IWTV is certainly doing right by them. I give them their props for that.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, I thought that was worth bearing mention since we had been talking about a lot of indie wrestling until the pandemic shut most of that stuff down.
I know our friends over at AIW were getting their feelings a little bit this morning about realization that it has to for them because their last show was in was it Akron, Ohio? What was their last show?
I believe so. Yes,
that it's now been it, as of this week, it will be a full year since the last time they did Cleveland.
Wow. Yeah, that sucks. I was looking forward to that trip. But
I certainly was too.
I look forward to another one like it in the near future.
I do as well.
Okie dokie. Well, this is the Royal Rumble wrap up show. So we will term it that way. My bell time beer of the show is BrewDog. Pulp Patriot Black Currant Variety. It is a milkshake IPA. This thing is very, very tasty and very, very alcoholic at 9.5% ABV. It kind of just tastes like a sour beer. Yes, highly suggested. BrewDog makes a variety of good beers. They do not make very many good dark beers if you're that part of the beer fandom, but definitely IPAs and sours and beers of that ilk they have a good handle on. And this one is no exception. Very, very good. And they distribute throughout the United States, even though it is brewed in Canal Winchester, just about 20 miles southeast of Columbus. So, bell time beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to download this fine program. And have a good night.
Later.